getting dark, so now I'm watching for them damn midges. They like to catch you, then they rob and trip. I be a rootin' tootin' shootin' damn fool, protecting my chip. All of a sudden, I heard somebody rustle in the bushes. Stop my horse, whoa, Nelly.
Who in the bushes? You better speak out,
or I'ma let this shotgun song sing out. Off a single law, shot out the bushes with my shot off shotgun.
Come on out, right now I'm getting angry.
Took a step back, cause it could get dangerous.
Please don't shoot us just to make the queen a horse.
Then why the hell is you hiding them bushes?
I wanted it for count cheese, but on robbery, kill two sheriffs, six of his best men. Want my head, stole two horses.
Thought you were the widest eye in the bushes, goodness.
Now she was hotter than the barrel of fire, but I could use her for the job, so I told her to ride. Come on.
May I ask you what you added to the Westbound?
I got a partner, got a plan for some dope. And if you're down,
you can pick up yourself a pretty penny, being down with a minute.
Now be sure if you're with it.
We all be for the sunrise, got a style, yeah, for your partner to ride. Hit just a little for the moonshine.
Down for whatever, let's smile, let's smile.
These directions say we go to Tucson, Arizona. When we arrive, we'll cop a place we can bump and meet my boy in the morning for details and hookups.
You better count your money. You better count your money. You better count your money. You better count your money.
Rise and shine.
Good morning, Howie.
9 o'clock, we meet my boy in the saloon in the valley. Now I done came a long way and I don't wanna be late.
Pretty soon, glass across the room, I see this youngster getting ready to fight. But if he mess up tonight, I think the crazy just might take his life. So I approach you, man, I pause. Look, man, I really don't want to brawl, but won't you chill before them laws? Come messing up this master plan. Since he already rowdy, I just asked you, man. Hey, you want some work with partner, put in your
bed.
Now what's your name? They call me Lazy the King.
I'm a millennial.
Your name's Powder P.
Can I get a 12-gauge outlaw on the day? On the front page,
Mr. Kid,
if you give me the lowdown, me and Blackjack, we're ready for the showdown. Two double barrels pointed at whatever, we'll stick together. I'm pretty clever.
Jump on the bandwagon because it's all going down. I heard a guy running the bar screaming crazy in town.
Now when we get to this saloon, you don't worry, wait outside. Don't be stealing nobody's damn horse. Step aside the bar, lady kid, you son of a gun.
Hey man, I'm glad you made it safely. Now let's go have some fun. And it's my partner Powder, he's a young gun. Howdy.
Mighty glad to meet you, son.
Oh yeah, you know I also brought a friend along. Meet the quick, the horse peddler, straggler, just met him.
Howdy partner, already got the horse established.
I hope you're good at robbing banks like you rustle that cattle.
Now y'all, it's gonna be getting dark real soon.
I think you're right, I say we move. Come on, let's move out. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up.
Move out. Oh yes, you gotta love the sweet harmonics of Harmony from Bone Thugs and Harmony. Throwback to the good old days when music was fun and not formulaized like this very song. Here we go.
DJ Horse Goo.
Thank you.
That's right, you are riding along on the offensive with DJ Horsegoo. 25 minutes to the bottom of the hour. John will be here around then. It's the internet, folks. Nothing is predictable except for DNS problems. That's a DJ Horsegoo guarantee. That was All Under Heaven with Alley Cat, licensed to play it. Trust me.
We'll be right back.
you are on the Offensive Pre-Show. I'm DJ Horsegoo. 17 minutes to the bottom of the hour. We'll be taking off with MMO number 191 live. Until then, we're playing you sweet, sweet jams. Oh, yeah. Gives you a little chubby just listening to it, doesn't it? Alrighty, folks. 11 minutes to the bottom of the hour. You're riding with the Millennial Media Offensive. Hello, No Agenda Stream. Are we going to get Fallback live? The Serial Downloader? Is he going to be live tonight? Hopefully. That's the alt fittich of you or something like that. Anyone? Anyways, this one's explicit, so.
Criticize me, now shit is on the rise, and my family despise me.
Evidently, this is the clean version. Trigger, I figure. Wa-da-da-dang, wa-da-da-da-dang. I'm having illusions, all this confusion's driving me mad inside. I'm having illusions, all this confusion's picking me up in my mind. I'm having illusions, all this confusion's driving me mad inside. I'm having illusions, all this confusion's picking me up in my mind. Motherfuckers be driving me up the walls, hoping that I fall, but they can pick my balls. Some punks again can't hack it. Distracted from all reality. Now I'm let out on a minor technicality. They all f***ed up now cause they left back on the street somehow. I'm looking for someone like me, living in my own world to my own degree. On the loose in the city, looking at the hole with the finger f***ing looking at me in the field. A little tense, stop getting hot cause she looks like my girl who got smoked at the crack spot. I'm trying to find ways to cope but I ain't flick around with the gauge or a rope. Having illusions.
You lied.
Wolf Wolf is in the chat. That's right, folks. We are looking at the bottom of the hour right now. John G. Doo should be rolling in, but we got some more songs queued up, so no worries. When he gets here, he gets here. Or some type southern stuff like that. Clips are dropped, so we should see them shortly. Hello, Mr. Do. What it do?
You know, just trying to be on time and whatnot.
Made it a minute late, but not a dollar short.
Perfection is the enemy of good.
That's a saying that people use.
You should have my clips.
Got them. Got your clips and dip.
And I'm pretty light tonight, so I don't know. Just programming note. No lengthy segments from me. I do have some things that, you know, with. Obviously, we'll converse about some things as we are wont to do.
Yep.
But
I got an idea at the beginning. A boost topic. People send boosts in. I got a good one. I got a good topic for our first boost segment. Also, clearing note right off the way, we gotta mention that. Are you planning on doing a solo next week?
I don't know about the logistics of it. It's been so long since I did that other one,
yeah,
that I would have to sit down with you at some point. And we say we're going to do that all the time, but we never do. But I would just want to do a test on the stream.
A test run? What's the rest of your week looking like?
I'm actually pretty good the rest of the week. Maybe what we should do... I don't know. See, there's this issue of me not wanting to commit to anything because I'm not sure about doing a solo show.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, JM in the chat, or the war room.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got him to be my roommate. He's like, he didn't want to move into our apartment. He didn't like it. And so I just didn't press it. And I knew his procrastination when he would end up picking us as a failsafe. So,
it's just sound strategy.
Right. Don't commit. I'm with that, too. I oftentimes say, oh, yeah, next week Thursday sounds great. And then Thursday night rolls around. I'm like, I don't want to leave the house.
Yeah. You know, I'd be more inclined to do one on the second week. You know, if we're off next week and then you're still not ready to come back week after that, I'd be much more inclined to do one so that there's not a 2 week gap.
Sure.
Because, you know, with our schedule, a 2 week gap, that's half of a month that we're out.
Yeah. I think, I actually have no way to gauge it, but I think the second week wouldn't be a problem for me to come back. Because I'll be off work.
Yes, you have no way to gauge it. No. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, we'll see. Might be a short show. We'll do something. We'll do something fun, I think, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even if, you know, even if we have to get together when it's convenient for you and just air a recorded show in our regular slot.
Sure. Yeah, it wouldn't be that bad. Oh, people do love the live.
Yeah, I know, but that's the closest thing. If you know your schedule isn't conducive to you doing a show at the regular time. That's as close as we can get to back on schedule.
That's right. I'm having kids, people. I wish it wasn't kids.
Live stream the birth.
I wish it was kid. Remember?
No, you don't.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to be very excited. You found out. I remember when you said you saw the, when I was working on Notes, the Notes app, and you saw the babies yeah. list. You yeah. said babies.
Yeah, that's how I found out.
Plural? Yep. It is plural.
Yeah, never cheat on Elise because you wouldn't be very good at hiding things.
No. That's true. Don't play on it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. After I met her, I just kind of gave up. Just kidding.
You know, all you other women can have it.
Right. Right indeed. All right, well, I'm good on my end, I think. Let me go through my mental checklist here. I should make it a physical checklist. Get the show started. We're connected there. Connected to both streams. Music's fading. We're recording. I'm ahead of
check
ahead
one,
of
two.
Game.
Little sound check. Little audio quality check. How are we sounding? Are we sounding good out there? Chicago!
Yeah, you sound good. Oh, you know what? I turned off your noise gate. I went on abs in a six-pack on Thursday. And I turned off, what's his name's noise gate? I used your channel. I hope you don't mind. Nope.
I don't know. I don't know what implications that has.
So basically, where you were coming through, where you come through on my soundboard, that's where I put Sir Seatsitter. So
poor.
That's right. I had to turn off his noise gate though, because he's already noise gated on his end. Yeah, it sounds a lot better now that I turned that back on.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of ambient sound. Just the sheer energy that I emit in person
really
just comes through as this unexplainable frequency on the microphone. So you really have to noise gate me.
It's a weird way to describe gay guttural sounds, but okay.
It's just John Brennan in the corner.
That's right. Rubbing your feet.
Well, not right now.
Oh, the MMO HR department.
A man can only take so many foot rubs.
That's right. I always tell Elise, like, my fantasy, like, if I was king, I would have, like, a maiden constantly be scratching my back all the time. And she doesn't like that. She doesn't like this idea of me being a king. And having
because
other
of
women
that
scratch
aspect.
My back. I'm like, it's better than, you know, scratching other things, you know? Just a back scratch. Jeez. That's why I'm the owner of Yes Kings, or we're the owner of YesKings.org.
Yes.
I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more hits.
Oh, well, speaking of hits, why don't we make one right here this evening?
Oh, did you have something in mind?
I think maybe let's get it on.
Oh, you're kidding. I was queued up. I was like, all right, here we go. I got the cue ready. Sound machine decided to eat a fat one. We're also no longer on we're running the show on an unsupported software operating system. So, eventually I'll need to deal with that. But what were you saying?
Let's get it on.
Get it on!
It must be quite apparent by this time to any thinking individual that the people of our country and people of other countries all over the world are coming to face a moment of grave decision. A time when we will choose the course of our future.
Oklahoma! Oklahoma, Texas, New York, Philadelphia, around the world, it's gonna be a big nut bus.
The Millennial Media Offensive Podcast is now live.
That's right. It's October 21st, 2025. You're listening to MMO number 191. And from the great city and state of St. Louis, Missouri, I'm Dan Gehring.
And from America's South Coast, where my co-host is waiting at arrivals, I'm John G. Dew.
That's right. That's right. And we're not talking about picking up a couple of Cubans from the New York airport. We're talking about babies. This is the last episode where I will be a childless DILF. The next time you hear me on the show, I will be a DILF.
Is that a distinction that people usually make? Do they mistakenly apply the acronym to people without children?
Yeah, I'm constantly called a DILF when I go to the grocery store.
Are you at the grocery store now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I'd tell those women if I were kidding.
Do you have any other dreams you'd like to tell us about?
No other dreams. No other dreams. But for those in the wanting to know, my wife, Elise, is expected to bear twins in a week's time on a Tuesday, nonetheless. What a day to come into this world on a news day. So I will not be doing a show next week. John is iffy, I think. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, we might take the week off. We might not. I might be here doing a solo show. I might record a solo show and then publish it. I don't know. Dan and I are going to try to get together this week so he can, do the digital internet wizardry logistics for dummies for me. And if that comes to fruition, then we may do a show. I may do two solo shows in a row. I may do one every day. Who knows? I thought the solo show that I did the first time, episode 88, was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good for the first time doing a solo show by myself. And I might just catch a hankering to do a bunch of solo shows and tell Dan, you know what? You just go ahead with that dad business.
Yeah, I couldn't be on episode 88. I was celebrating privately.
Yes, and here I was working. You know, work will set you free, so that's what I was doing.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I think that episode had a couple million downloads. Was it six? I don't recall. But yes, welcome back to The Offensive, everybody. I am excited. My last week of not being a dad. And, places are getting robbed.
Last weekend that I can call you a dog dad.
A dog dad, yes. I'm leaving the millennial phase of my life and entering the Gen Xer phase of my life.
He's growing up.
That's right. Pretty soon
I'll grow up so fast.
Buying additional rental properties and telling my kids to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. And the only guns worth firing have wood on them. It'll be great.
Well, very good. Are you excited?
I am very excited. There's, you know, I think the way I would describe my feelings right now are at the entrance, West Virginia, right? Enter Sandman is started to play. I have not yet entered the field, or Virginia Tech, my apologies. I have not yet entered the field, but I'm in the tunnel, ready to storm the field. That's how I feel.
Well, that's an odd way to put it.
It is. You know, I was a little bit nerves, but excited, ready to show the world that I can wear New Balances and athletic shorts with a polo.
New Balances are the premier footwear in America. There's just no doubt about this.
Yeah, everything that's uncool, Gen Z came and they made it cool again. Camo shirts, just wearing camo shirts, which used to be like, oh, you're a redneck or you're a country boy. Now you could just be a Gen Z. Those kids are awesome. Everything lame is cool now.
It's just the way things go. We're old enough to see the trends going around, leaving us behind and then coming back to us.
Yeah, and I'm at the phase of my life where I will gladly be uncool. But I am wearing these baggy jeans so I can fit a full-size pistol in there. Eat that, liberals. Just kidding. So,
so you had mentioned before we started, and if you want to listen to us kind of banter back and forth to get warmed up before the show, before the recorded show, you can listen live most Tuesdays when one of us is not having a kid or two.
Yep.
You can listen live every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time at Dan.
Stream.mmo.show.
Stream.mmo.show. There you have it. That's where you can listen live. You can also listen after the show on the live stream and hear us debating and criticizing and ridiculing the various art producers and various members of the chat room, which you can join by going to, I believe, mmo.show/chat. Is that right?
Chat.mmo.show.
See, it just doesn't make sense. It should just... Classic URL. Yeah, and then you can just email us your art if you want to be in the running for the art for tonight. You can email your art pieces to john@mmo.show and dan@mmo.show. All we require is that it have the name of the show, Millennial Media Offensive, two L's, two N's in Millennial. Spell it correctly, please. And sometimes we have our names on it. Sometimes we don't, and it should be topical. So,
yeah,
that's the rundown to get us out of the gate here. Now, you had mentioned a new facet of our program, potentially something we might try out this evening.
Yeah,
why don't you explain that?
So we receive boostergrams here, and a lot of times the message there. Sometimes there are no messages, sometimes there are long messages, sometimes it pertains to topics of the last show, sometimes it pertains to stuff we're talking about tonight, but there's never been a specific topic that we would have people boost in. And so I thought for the first time in the show's history, we could introduce a segment where we say, all right, here's tonight's topic, and boost in what you think. And to kick it off, I think, if you were to stop a terrorist attack at your church, and the local sandwich shop were to name a sandwich after you, what would you want that sandwich to be called?
Oh, the Big John.
The Big John. So that's...
No doubt.
Here's the fun part. Now, the listeners, when they hear that, they get to boost in and let us know what their sub sandwich would be called after their heroic act. We got the Big John, which I believe is on banana bread. Is that correct?
No, I wouldn't want a sandwich on banana bread. Probably, you see, I want this sandwich to be enjoyable for everyone else too, so I'm not going to say sourdough. Just a good toasty hoagie roll.
Hmm, sounds good.
And you know what? I think I would just want it to be a really good Swiss mozzarella covered meatball sandwich.
I like that. I don't know what my sandwich would pertain, but I'd want something to do with like Tears of Joy from Ruby Ridge or something like that. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. That's going to be hard to put on a menu.
We ran out of space. I'll have the Tears of Ruby, please. Something like that. I don't know. Let us know. So boost in what you would name your sandwich, and that's tonight's topic. What do you think? Fun?
Well, what's yours?
What's my sandwich name?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I...
You had this question in pocket this whole time for, what, days now? And you don't have a name for your sandwich?
It would probably be an accurate description of what went down, so I'd call it 15 to the chest.
He just wouldn't stop shooting.
Why did you shoot him 15 times? Well, my mag capacity is 15, sir.
And they stopped me when I tried to reload.
Right. That would be a sight. What do you think? Should I hit him again? There's nothing left. Very good.
I could picture you being a roast beef kind of guy, a roast beef sandwich.
So I like, I'm a big, if there's an Italian on the menu, I get the Italian. I don't know. I'm a sucker for the Italian.
I got a really good Italian sandwich from somewhere the other day, and I think it was just a little small shop somewhere. I don't like going to chain places, if there's a mom and pop or something that even looks like a mom and pop, even though sometimes you get fooled and you go into a regional branch of some kind of chain aspiring restaurant, which can still be good. I like to go to places like that. And I had a really good Italian the other day. Very spicy, you know, had the peppers on it.
Yeah, yeah, I like the peppers. The pepperoncinis or chinis, depending on who you are.
And then you get the stratification of all the different kinds of meats, mystery meats that they throw in the Italian sandwiches.
Yeah, it's good. And a little bit of oil on there. A little bit of that special sprinkled oregano mix. Yeah, I'm with you.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Okay.
Potty Mouth says he would want the Potty Mouth grinder. No homo. Yeah, it's kind of upsetting. That app did ruin a lot of sandwich names for a lot of people.
Yeah, it really did, especially in the Northeast.
That's right. I'll take the grinder. Mmm, what do you know? How many hot dogs? Three, four,
right,
five?
Through that door, sweetie.
Why is there a hole in this urinal? Where do you want to start?
Well, we've already covered the sandwich news of the week, so I think we should talk, even though there's not much to talk about here. We got to talk about these protests, the No Kings. Now, you had mentioned in the pre-show that we are the proud owners of YesKings.org, and I think it just redirects to our website.
That's correct.
Now, we're not a monarchical podcast, per se. Dan is a good Catholic. He could probably be convinced to cede sovereignty to the Pope under some circumstances, but we're not explicitly monarchical. But in the face of these funny, if nothing else, No Kings protests, when were the first ones? Were they a year ago already, or were they early in the summer?
I think they were in June, so early summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I recall.
So in the face of these, the only thing you can do in the face of these geriatric, neurodivergent gatherings, support groups in the street is make fun of it, because they're not serious. They don't carry any political influence at all. If anything, they're a liability to anyone who has real aspirations in the Democrat Party. But I actually have, well, I don't have any reports about the protests themselves. I found it odd. I didn't even really see any lengthy segments on the protests themselves or on the turnout. Definitely didn't see anyone being interviewed at these things, because if you find these people being interviewed, one, they won't give you an interview. They've been coached to run away from all cameras because they're freaks.
Yeah.
And two, the networks that would be sentimental toward them aren't going to go out there and run the risk of capturing just internet gold on and having to run it on their social medias and their networks. So there's not much material there, not much that I saw. Anyway, now you're the one that sits there and watches the news all day. Did you see any coverage of this more than just a mention?
I at least had mentioned that there was apparently some footage that was used online about the crowds for No Kings, and it was apparently from 2018, and some news agencies were rolling that footage because, again, they were probably not gung-ho on getting out there. But really, I watched, there's this really annoying girl, I think her channel is called Liberty Hangout. She goes and she's kind of like in people's face about it. But she was just kind of asking people why they're out there. And there's this one, there are like so many people, but there's this one guy in particular that was just so angry, and he couldn't express why. He couldn't express why at all. And it brought me back to how whenever these, newscasters or news anchors or general lefties have podcasts, like we heard Dana Bash talk about how she couldn't swear or whatnot, and it was really tough because she had a podcast. I think it was Dana Bash. It could be, no, it was the MSNBC lady, Nicole Wallace. how she was used to swearing on her podcast. And it like brings me back to that, how when you can't express yourself and you feel the need to like swear in order to do it, how it's just like this lack of emotional intelligence and emotional security. And I really saw it in this Liberty Hangout video. It's worth a watch if you haven't seen it. But she just goes and she kind of antagonizes people. You know?
Yeah, I've seen that. And I think that's why the popularity of these right-leaning influencers going to these protests and just reaping in the fodder for their channels.
Yeah.
I think they've caught on to that and said, we can't keep giving them free content, because what they were doing was giving them free golden content.
Exactly. And there are people that are going up like, don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. There's Nick Shirley, this other guy, some lady in a traffic vest was following him around with a big yellow sign.
Well, you remember Nick Shirley is the guy that I brought from the Chinese outlet who was talking about how the international funding aspect of these organizations and these protests.
That was Nick Shirley?
That's the guy that was, yeah, that was Nick Shirley.
Okay, yeah. So they have people following them around with this yellow sign saying right-wing troll. One lady's holding the sign, and the other lady, anyone that goes up to talk to him is like saying, don't talk to him, don't talk to him. So it is funny because they don't want to get how just kind of unhinged and pointless the outrage around No Kings is. You know, everyone are saying, like, President Trump thinks he's a king without realizing the irony of what they have just said.
Yeah, I don't really, in my protest folder, I've got a clip that I'm not exactly proud of, but I think it is topical, at least. I don't like to bring this kind of whataboutism. I just feel like this is, you know, this could be, this could be used as evidence against me in the court of, has he slidden into Facebook boomer territory? And this is a girl, a young girl, but, you know, they know their audience. They know they're trying to get Grandma and Pop-Pop to share this on Facebook. This is a girl pointing out the No Kings hypocrisy.
No Kings! Unless it was during the pandemic, when all the mom-and-pop businesses were shut down, but the government said it was totally fine for all the major super-rich corporations to continue operating. But I didn't really care, because as long as I could get my Starbucks and go to Target, I was fine. No Kings! Except during the pandemic, when we told people that they would lose their job unless they took a certain medical product, or they couldn't even go into certain restaurants without vaccine paperwork. That was crazy, but I didn't really care because I just complied. No Kings. Remember when we also told people that they had to not visit their loved ones that were sick and dying in the hospital, the elderly, they had to die alone. That was really sad. We shut down the schools, completely wrecked the developmental learning for a whole generation. I mean, that was tragic, but we don't really talk about that because that's over now. New outrage, No Kings. Remember when we were told over and over if we got that medical product, we for sure would not get sick. And even though the people that got it immediately did get sick, we were for sure told they wouldn't spread it. And then that gradually became, well, like 95%, like 75%. Okay, there's no evidence it does what we told everyone it does, but we've already made everyone take it that would anyway. And no one really cared because it's new outrage time, No Kings. And do you remember during that time, anyone who tried to bring attention to these issues on social media was censored or their account was banned? And limiting free speech at that time seemed okay to me. I didn't really think about it. No Kings.
Repost like, she's so right. I mean, yeah, she is right, but it's I see what you're saying about the Facebook boomer memes.
Yeah, I mean, it's pure whataboutism. And there are more solid ways to attack, even though No Kings doesn't really justify attack. It justifies ridicule. But yeah, there are better ways to go to engage in the body politic than to say, well, what about COVID, when you're looking at all of these people who are on the brink of nursing home days protesting Donald Trump because, I don't know, he's tearing down the White House or something.
Yeah, there was footage of that on CNN. So apparently somebody took a photo and they were lamenting about how awful it was that he's tearing down history.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk about the composition of these protests a little bit, because we've been on this. We've noticed for a while, you know, serial noticers over here. We've noticed for a while that these protests are made up of primarily olds.
Yeah.
And that, I saw something, and I don't know if it was in a group chat or where it exactly was, but it was a joke, and I think it was a link to Twitter wherever I saw it, but it was a joke that this had really accelerated since the death of Jimmy Buffett. And as much of a joke as that is, that they just don't have anywhere to dress up and go be seen and have a few drinks and pretend like they're young again, this has now become their pretend like I'm young again event. And I think we, in the beginning, we identified this kind of, you know, aging liberal hippie who harkens back to the days of standing up to their university administration, or, you know, going to the local rock show or hippie music fest because that was, you know, it was unacceptable and they were sticking it to the man, you know. And I think that is, I don't know, I'm sure there are plenty of explanations for why this is happening. But I think these people are just grasping for their youth again, or what they identify as their youth. I mean, they were tools then and they're tools now. But do you get my point here that this is, they don't have anything else to do?
Yeah, I think too, with the Jimmy Buffett, which is a good call out, I think the Dead also stopped touring. They were going around with John Mayer for a while.
Yes, yeah.
They came to St. Louis, and it was funny, the amount of like 60-year-old hippies with big beards that were clearly on psychedelics that you just saw. And I think that they got all riled up, and they couldn't watch the Dead anymore. They started watching the news. They started believing everything they heard on MSNBC, and here we are.
Well, I have a piece of news tangential to the protests, and this is about the Oregon Appeals Court giving the green light to the Trump administration on his deployment of the National Guard.
Signs of tension overnight Monday in Portland, Oregon, after a ruling from a divided U.S. appeals court to allow U.S. President Donald Trump to send National Guard troops into the city. The San Francisco court said it was an appropriate response to protesters who had previously damaged a federal building and threatened U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers. The three-judge panel granted the Justice Department's request to put on hold a previous judicial order to block the deployment, while a legal challenge to Trump's action plays out.
We're frustrated that so much deference is being given to a president that clearly has no idea what's actually happening on the
street. So much deference.
I hope that, especially if it's Oregon National Guard that ends up being deployed here, that they understand who's really escalating things here. I'm a little bit more worried if it ends up being Texas National Guard, because they don't really have that connection to Oregon or to Portland.
You're damn right.
But we'll just have to see.
The unsigned majority opinion was joined by two judges appointed by Trump in his first term as Republican president, while an appointee of Democratic President Bill Clinton dissented. While White House spokesperson Abigail Jackson welcomed the ruling, Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield called for the court to reconsider, saying the ruling puts America on a dangerous path. The ruling marks a massive legal victory for Trump, who has dispatched military forces to Democratic-led cities in California, Oregon, and Illinois. The National Guard usually answers to state governors, but Trump has relied on a law that allows a president to deploy the National Guard to repel an invasion, suppress a rebellion, or to execute the law. He has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to
waive
his authority
pretty broad.
After another U.S. appeals court ruled against a decision to send troops to Chicago.
To execute the law?
Yeah.
Like rounding up illegal immigrants or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is one of the reasons why law is such a weird thing. But this whole, you know, when Joe Biden in 2020 said, you know, there are no red states and blue states. There's only one United States. But look, it's the red states where everyone's getting invited. So, like, this whole red state, blue state thing is really kicking off. And you even heard it when the guy mentioned, you know, I'm really hoping it's the Portland National Guard and not the Texas National Guard. He mentions that they wouldn't have a connection with the people. But what he's really saying is he thinks that the Texas National Guard are going to be a bunch of cowboys that are shooting everybody. That's the subcontext of his comment, I think.
Yeah, I think he has a misconception that his fellow Oregonians, whether they're in the National Guard or not, are going to be softer, have a softer spot in their heart for these, for these protesters. And I think he's sadly mistaken.
Yeah, if you are in Oregon and you join the military, chances are you did so because you were sick of everything that's going on in Oregon and you didn't want to be a part of that weird pro-drug culture that's got everyone doing the fent bent.
The fent bent. Somebody put that on the title list.
You know what I'm talking about? Those people that are like standing up, but
yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Boy, I'm from Ellensburg. Get in the van.
Yeah, isn't there like a part of, I forget, was it, I think it was a part of Oregon that wanted to be a part of Idaho, right? Remember that? It was, we covered that like more than a year ago.
Yeah, the annexation, the move to, I said Ellensburg. Ellensburg is in Washington, and that is what, that's what I was thinking about. It is the Washington annexation.
Oh, they wanted to be a part of Montana?
No, Idaho. Montana and Washington do not border one another.
You're right. My bad. I wasn't looking at a map.
Tuesday is not either. News day.
Sorry.
Let me ask you to look again at a map.
I am too, as well, looking at a map now.
I'm John. I know exactly where the states border one another without looking at a map. Very good, sir.
I've been to Idaho. Have you been to Idaho?
I have not been to Idaho. I have
not. Beautiful.
I imagine it would be. I've been to, I think, Wyoming. I need to get out west more. I think it's where I probably belong. I just stopped at the gateway to the west. As in, you know, this is good enough. At least I'm not in the
nervous.
East. That's right. I was like, does it get more dangerous the further west you go? Oh, my carriage broke down and I got dysentery.
Yes, you have died.
I have died. Yeah, this is interesting though. Do you think that this is going to spark another big protest? And we saw what happened in Chicago, where it was a couple of days and people were getting shot with pepper balls and pushed to the ground. And that is what the mainstream media wants. They want the look at these jackbooted stormtroopers harassing these people. Well, these people are literally blocking cars in the middle of the road. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you'll probably see some stuff like that in Eugene and Portland. Definitely Portland. I don't know if it kind of fizzles out the more that this happens, the more states that this expands to. But I think you'll see it flare up here and there. Yeah. And the pepper spray really seems to work.
There's the famous one of the, I think it was the person in the frog suit where they're pepper spraying the air hole.
Yes.
It's kind of, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of a jerk move, but hilarious nonetheless.
Awful.
Oddly.
I mean, you.
Oh, good.
I was going to say, you want to see me rip a frog suit in half? Put some bear spray in there with me.
Yeah. That was a common theme, too. Now, is ever since that frog got sprayed in the air hole, a lot of people this weekend had the costumes on. I was at my FFL's house on Saturday laughing about all the people downtown that were probably getting soaked because it was pouring rain. But from what I did see from footage, a lot of people were buying those inflatable animal costumes.
You actually have a relationship with your FFL?
When I'm buying or talking about trading certain firearms, yes. He's a good guy.
That's pretty great, honestly.
Last time I was there, I said, I want one of these eventually. And he had one come across his desk, and he asked me if I was interested in a custom Nighthawk 1911, which is like $3,000.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Thank you.
Not for a few more years, anyway.
No.
Well, that's good. I learn something about you every day.
Yeah. Everyone should develop a relationship with their local FFL. If nothing else, he's got some solid tips as to what guns that are good, what guns that are bad, and certain stereotypes of groups that come in and buy certain guns. It's enlightening. it's very funny.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the costumes in these protests. You know, the reasoning for wearing the costumes isn't to safeguard their identity or any kind of OPSEC. It's their attempt to make fun of the regime. I've heard several people say this, and I guess I shouldn't take them at face value, but I mean, they seem that all the people saying this look like the type that would be at these protests. And, you know, I think they finally got it through their heads that they've got to be the ones having fun. Whoever's having fun is going to win. And this is their attempt at making this fun. Oh, everybody dress up in dinosaur costumes and look like Pikachu, and it's going to be so much fun.
I think the octogenarians and like the footage of these people walking out of an assisted living facility with their protest signs just kind of sucks the fun out of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's at every protest,
you're fighting a losing battle.
Have you ever been to like a protest or an event where people are gathering and against something or like one of these things that you're seeing on TV? Have you ever been to one of them?
Yeah.
I was at one for the, they wanted to, I've mentioned this before, but they wanted to rename St. Louis to
Confluence.
And the thing was about tearing down the St. Louis statue, which is one of the iconic symbols of St. Louis and was the iconic symbol of St. Louis until, of course, the arch was built. And now that has surpassed everything. But just the people that show up and their crazy opinions. This was like at the same time as Black Lives Matter. And so it was this kind of like merging community organizer trying to just cause more attention. And I went to just check it out. And, you know, there's people that are going and one lady shouting about the Catholic Church and another, you know, because St. Louis is a Catholic saint. And, you know, somebody had written on the statue, "Stop acting like you're oppressed," to the people that were praying in front of the statue, which is just kind of a funny, ironic thing, given the whole time period where they were literally acting like the ones that were oppressed. But it's beside the point. But the opinions you hear are insane. The people there, and the people that show up to these things, you ask them, why are you here? And they'll go on a 40-minute rant, none of which is factual. Almost 100% accuracy, that's what'll happen. And so I've half thought about, if it wasn't pouring rain on Saturday, going down with the microphone and the phone and just saying, hey, why are you here? What's going on? Just to capture some of this random babble. Not even pressing.
Yeah, but you look like a troublemaker. You look like far right, Charlie Kirk supporting fascist.
Dude, I put on my Nurse Lover t-shirt and my Birkenstocks, and no one has a clue.
you need some fake dreads.
Yeah, that'd be good. Get some fake dreads. Maybe set up the slack line between two trees. Watch out, I got some nasty athlete's foot. Make sure you chalk up, dude.
God. I still take offense to the fact that you thought I was a slackliner.
I could see you trying it out, you know? I knew some,
never slacklined.
I was friends with kids that slacklined. Not good friends, but, you know, I knew them. I said, hey. I
knew them. Acquaintances.
Right. I said, hey, every now and then. How's it hanging up there?
1 foot in front of the other.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know. These kids all seem to have bad allergies. Their eyes were always super red.
So, I mean, you asked me what I thought about all this and how it's going to develop. And to be frank about it, to be blunt, I don't really know. I feel like your National Guard deployment isn't necessarily about stopping the crime that is endemic in these cities. I think it's more a side effect of stopping the crime. And I guess you could have different objectives in different cities where, you know, the National Guard being deployed to Memphis more than likely is there to address crime, where your National Guard being deployed to Portland is probably there to protect federal buildings. But it just seems almost like a fog of war developing right now, where, and I don't mean to imply that, you know, the feds are at war with the peoples of several states, but there's this weird situation that has developed where no one can report on what's actually happening. Fox News doesn't give you anything. They're going to talk about how, well, it's necessary that the National Guard be here and look at how great Trump is doing and they can't do any wrong in Israel. And the other side just gives you the complete opposite in not the most deranged way, to your point about the people that show up to these protests, but in a very deranged way, the opposite side of the Fox News coverage. You really don't get any material facts out of either side. So we know the stated reason for why the National Guard is in these places, but outside of seeing these videos of people being pepper sprayed and your military equipment roaming down the streets, we don't really know anything about this or what's actually happening, if anything is actually being done. And I would argue that in the cities where they're just there to protect federal buildings, nothing is being done. They're not doing anything. They're just a trap. Yeah, they're just a trap for belligerent leftists who would get in the face of a guy in full body armor and riot gear and somehow not expect to be pepper sprayed in the eyeballs and then carried off to jail.
Right. Yeah, it's all part of the culture war, I think. I think, you know, seeing the guard there, personally, like watching the videos of these people get tackled and arrested, just these people that you kind of want to punch in the face, it is a little bit of red meat for the right. You know, people are like, ha,
take of course.
That. Yeah. So I think that's kind of what it is, the continuation of the culture war. I saw Harry Enten today say that Trump's popularity since the government shutdown or his approval rating has actually increased by a percent or two, 2%, I think. So I don't think you're going to see an end of the shutdown anytime soon or an end
to this.
Well,
we made this point last week that this doesn't feel like your run-of-the-mill every 2 year shutdown.
No, there's no even talks are even going on. And Johnson himself is keeping the House Republicans out of the Capitol building. He's saying, don't come here. So
I think I'm really interested in what's happening in the cities like Memphis, because that is really, in my opinion, and I'm biased because that's my part of the world, but I think that is the more dire issue, is your urban and poverty crime statistics really ramping up and becoming a problem even for small towns. And if you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk about this at length. But if the National Guard can actually have a lasting impact, I'm going to be greatly surprised, because I think what they're doing is they're freeing up resources for the local police department to pursue basically cold cases and gang shootings and other crimes that they didn't have time for because they had to be out patrolling, where now the National Guard is out patrolling and keeping the peace, basically, and the local police force is able to actually get into some of their backlog. I don't know that that's going to have a lasting effect. I think you're still going to have a vacuum when the National Guard leaves, and nature abhors a vacuum, and it'll be filled again, and we'll have the same problem.
Now, I don't want to be disrespectful to the National Guard, but ordinarily, right, a hurricane hits Puerto Rico, and the National Guard goes and helps out. What does the National Guard do before Trump? What is the National Guard doing day to day?
Living their life and going to drill?
Sure. It seems a little bit like maybe the National Guard, and again, I do not want to be offensive to the National Guard, utmost respect for you guys, but it seems a little bit like they might be kind of like firefighters. Where do you know any firefighters? I knew a couple of firefighters growing up, or dad friends with dads or brother-in-laws that were firefighters, and it just looked awesome. We'd go and visit the firehouse, and they'd pretty much just lift weights and cook burgers and clean shit and maybe respond to one or two fires throughout the year. That's kind of my view of what the National Guard is.
Well, I think the difference there, and I think it is a difference. I'm comfortable saying it's a difference. You've got your active and your reserve National Guard. I could see that argument being the case for reserve National Guard, and that's what I was referring to when I said, you know, they live their life and go to what I call drill every now and then. But there is active National Guard that actually live on the military base and work full-time for the military.
What I'm saying is, why can't this be like a permanent solution where there's a city with a crime issue? The National Guard is sent there to help get the police on their backlog, do some patrols, and get the crime rate down. And during that, it can be like an educational type thing. I have no problem with seeing the National Guard on the streets of St. Louis. You know, in fact, I would welcome the National Guard on the streets of St. Louis. I feel like it could be a thing if they're not doing stuff. And again, they're probably doing something that I don't know about, and so I apologize. But if there are people that are not doing anything, why not keep?
Well, I guarantee you, there's someone that's listening that could enlighten us on this.
I bet so too. And again, respect you. I am not talking crap on the National Guard. I just don't know what you guys are doing on a day to day. I don't know if this is cutting into something else that you guys were doing.
Yes, we're going to need you to send us an email with a list of three things that you've accomplished this week.
That's right. That's right. Address that to doge@mmo.show.
Right. You know, this was originally the National Guard has not always been an American institution. The National Guard was implemented post-war between the states, and before that, the states had their own militias, and that, you know, you may recognize the term militia from the Second Amendment, but the states had their own militia. The founding documents of this country the founding documents didn't even provide for a standing military. So your states had their own militias, and the idea of federalism was so that these states wouldn't balkanize and go to war with one another. There's a federal governing body to resolve disputes. Well, states having their own militia became a problem for some people. And you get the National Guard. You know, that is what the militia morphed into, is the National Guard. So before the era of the National Guard, your state militia would have been at the behest of the governor. And in a state like Tennessee, the governor probably, and not in modern America, would have already called the militia to Memphis and other Tennessee cities to put down the wanton violence.
Right. And that's
and I think state governors are a little, I think they're a lot afraid to use their National Guard.
Well, because of the political ramifications, you'll have the same, you know, you got these guys that probably have the backing of Trump, but they don't have the name recognition of Trump. And then, you know, who knows who's pouring in all this money to get them ousted out of their seat.
Well, if Trump were, and I'll maintain this point, although it's evolved a little bit, if Trump were actually savvy, he would have empowered his Republican governors to use their National Guard to end violence, gang violence, and other types of non-sporadic violence, of regular violence, to end it in their states. He would have brought them all to the White House. He would have brought every governor of every state to the White House and said, you will start with Alabama. Alabama, you've got a problem with crime. Use your National Guard to solve it. You've got 6 months, or I'm going to use your National Guard to solve it. Next on the list, who's next alphabetically? You've got a problem with crime. Solve it in 6 months, or I'm going to solve it. And you would have some governors who would say, absolutely not. Trump wants me to kill my own citizens, and I refuse to do it. He wants me to set up gas chambers and ovens for everybody who lives below the poverty line, and I refuse to do it. And you would have other governors. You would have other governors who would say, yeah, he's right. We do have a problem, and I've been too afraid to address it because I don't want to be a pariah in my party. But the leader of my party is empowering me to address this issue and make life better for my citizens. Why wouldn't I do it?
And I think that's a great idea. I think a city like St. Louis could benefit from it. St. Louis is in a very similar position as Memphis. Red state, blue governor, blue city.
People dying all over the place.
Right. I would love to, you know, not have to think about how long I'm hanging out in a gas station parking lot. You know what I mean? Like,
that's, I know exactly what you mean.
That's a solid, if you ever visit a city, don't hang out in gas station parking lots longer than you have to. Fill up your car, get your lottery ticket, whatever you're buying in there, and get out. Because that's where the vast majority of you are going to get robbed or shot and killed. But like, that's something that I think about every time I stop at a gas station. You're intermixing with people that you normally wouldn't intermix with, and it becomes dangerous. So I would love to have that fear erased and have the National Guard here freeing up the police, which is, the police in St. Louis are shorthanded because it doesn't pay very well, and no one wants to be a St. Louis cop because it's incredibly dangerous.
Well, no one wants to get shot.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know.
And when it comes to your good cops that happen to be part of certain communities, they don't want to be Uncle Tom's.
Yeah.
That's a big problem in Memphis. There's a lot of corruption, or historically has been. I'm not sure about the current police and police leadership, but corruption in Memphis's police department is not a fantasy, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure that's like any major city. I don't know the history, but I'm sure there's some history of St. Louis as well in that whole ordeal. But you know, it's funny because Memphis and St. Louis, they're both located on the banks of the Mississippi River, and there's a lot of similarities between the two. I've never been to Memphis because I feel like it's just like St. Louis. I would plan to go to Memphis when Clip Custodian was down there, but I never panned out, unfortunately. But Yeah, I got to find out what that barbecue's all about.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth coming down to try out. It's definitely worth it. I always enjoyed going to Memphis. You know, I went to school not far from Memphis, so it's always a treat to go up there. But yeah, I think Memphis is worth a visit. Now, you know what you're getting, basically. There's no surprises in Memphis. None that you survive, anyway. I haven't spent too much time in St. Louis. I visited you in St. Louis, but as far as spending a lot of time exploring the city, I really haven't. It's one of the least explored cities I've been to.
Well, I would take you up in the Arch, but they recently installed metal detectors. So, me, downtown St. Louis, going through a metal detector? Uh-uh. No, thank you.
Well, I think there are plenty of places to stash any metal objects before you go up.
Bend over, John. Oh, well, it's been a lively discussion about the National Guard deployment. I, for one, I'm probably in the minority here. I can already see, I get a local newspaper delivered to me, and I can already see the articles of other people once the National Guard is deployed, writing in their letters to the editor about how awful it is and how it's the king and the sovereign and how we're losing all of our rights.
But of course, yeah. Our right to be gunned down.
That's right.
This is America.
Oh, all right. So you mentioned part of the White House is torn down.
Oh, yes. I have one clip, and it's from your favorite fellow in the news industry. So if you want to go in there and play it, I think it's a good one. You can stop. It's kind of long, so feel free to stop it and enjoy the... Just bask in the glory of this report. It's news reporting. This is what this is.
You know, you cannot help but wonder if President Donald Trump
didn't
wait until after this weekend's massive No Kings protests. You can't help but wonder if he didn't wait until these protests were already done before today he started literally physically tearing down the White House. This is not AI. That is a real thing. I mean, the No Kings Day protests saw 7 million Americans turning out in the streets coast to coast, protesting against him this weekend. Imagine how many millions more there might have been if we had seen these images on Friday instead of him starting to do this today. Trump literally today sent a rental backhoe to physically rip down the east wing of the White House. Okay. He's already paved the Rose Garden. Literally, he paved it. That's the Rose Garden, except, oh no, it's a patio at a Panera in a strip mall. He paved the Rose Garden. He took up parts of the White House lawn to put up huge flagpoles so he could fly novelty-size American flags over the White House to make it look like it's an RV dealership that's going on.
I've made that. I've the novelty American-sized American flags over RV dealerships. I have said that before.
I know. That's the only reason I brought this.
But yes, could you imagine enormous American flags over the White House? What a sin.
White House to make it look like
those
it's
aren't
an
rainbow
RV
flags.
There's no black fist on that flag.
The dealership that's going out of business. He hung cheap gold decorations all over the Oval Office. Just random little gold gewgaws to make it look like a Hilton Hotel banquet room
what
in 1992.
What is a gewgaw?
I don't know. It sounds like something that Rachel Maddow has when she goes to the OBGYN.
Okay, I've got a definition here. We've actually learned something from Rachel. You know, if you watched more Rachel, you might learn something. A gew-gow. 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 a showy thing, especially one that is useless or worthless.
Googow. Oh, like a tchotchke.
Or like Rachel Maddow's show.
That's pretty much. It's a good one. A googa.
Before the renovation, he tried to give away Eisenhower's sword as like a hostess gift to a foreign head of state. The head of the Eisenhower Presidential Library resigned in protest and said he wouldn't do it. Right. So this is how the man is treating the legacy, the physical legacy of the presidency of the United States. So maybe we should have seen it coming, right? Especially after he promised everybody this summer that to build this new ballroom he wants for himself, he promised this summer overtly that the construction of the new ballroom wouldn't affect anything else at the White House. He said everything else would be left intact. It, quote, won't interfere with the current building. As soon as he said that, we should have imagined him rolling the backhoes up to the White House to start literally ripping it down, which is what happened today. We should have known, but still nothing can quite prepare you for the sight of him actually doing it. Absolutely amazing. Surprise! Donald Trump is literally destroying the people's house because apparently he thinks it's his house and not ours, and I'm guessing he has no intention of moving out of it ever.
Oh, if it's my house, can I walk up to it and go inside of it? Hey, why are these doors locked? Why can't I bring my weapon in here?
Why do I have a red dot on my forehead?
Right. So one of the reasons that I mentioned was appealing to Trump long ago was that it was almost like a mockery of the presidency. And with the tearing down, and you could hear it in Rachel Maddow's voice, this is like when Black Lives Matter was going on in 2020 and prior to that, what's his name in 2016, Mike Brown, everyone was talking about the fetish that people had with this American flag because people were upset. Protesters were dragging the American flag on the ground and everyone was getting upset. This happened actually on SLU's campus. Somebody did it. And there's this big back and forth about it. And they were talking about the fetish that the right has of the American flag. And it's funny because now you hear that same sort of fetishized talk with this building that exists where it's being torn down. And the fact that it's being changed, and the White House has been built and modified and changed many times over the years. I don't even know how old this East Wing is. It's not important. But this idea that Donald Trump is doing it, he's making this change. And the symbolism behind it is enough to drive them wild because it adds fuel to this no kings kind of narrative that they've spun up that he's a king. And look, he's destroying the people's house, your house, your house. He's taking it away and he's changing it to his own desires. It's funny. It's funny because it is this continuation and mockery of all these people that hold stupid things like a building sacred.
Yes. And there is some symbology here that you can give some credence to, but to the degree that the followers of Richard Maddow do, it's ridiculous. And they don't really hold this building in any special reverence. It's just an attack vector against their enemy.
Right. Of course. Yeah. It's changed many times. I mean, the British burned it down when it was in Philadelphia, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't it the British when Adams was in office?
Yeah, the British definitely burned it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? It's Rachel Maddow. She's gotta play it up to her audience. Or Richard, sorry.
Richard, yes. Yeah. The original White House was not in it was in DC.
I thought maybe it wasn't called the White House, but I recall a presidential
is the president's house in Philadelphia. The official residence of the U.S. president, which I guess you could argue was the same thing that the White House is.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. It's like the White House and then the British. It's like 10 Downing Street. Here you go, slave. Live in this apartment while you run the country. Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, it feels cheap bringing clips like that from Richard, but at the same time, that is the spokesperson for the left in this country, basically.
Yeah, that's who watches it. And you know what's funny about it, too, is when these people that we're talking about, like Liberty Hangout and Nick Shirley Go, all the protesters are shouting things like, turn off Fox News, stop watching Fox News. Maybe you would learn something if you didn't watch Fox News. And it's funny because it's the octogenarians talking to these Gen Z streamers, none of which, I can assure you, watch Fox News at all in any capacity.
Not unironically.
No, no. So it's just, it's funny because they believe that these people are consuming the equivalent of MSNBC for the right, when the
The equivalent of what they're consuming.
Exactly. They're the Fox News, which would be the right-wing version of MSNBC, and they're mistaken. And, you know, and you have all this thing like the transgender people in the White House, that one that flashed her boobs at the White House. Remember that, under Joe Biden? And had a photo with Joe Biden. So it's like,
yeah,
this idea of this is a place that should be respected. Yeah, the columns, there's the Ukrainian flag flying and flown in Congress. the columns of the White House in the rainbow flag, each one is a different color. You know, this idea of this house that needs to be respected. It's just like, come on. What are you doing? Oh no, he knocked down a wall. I would love to see the whole White House go down, personally.
Ooh. Yeah. Why?
Hot take. It is now the Gold House. We knocked it down and we built the Trump House.
The Trump House.
That would be funny.
Okay. We've talked about...
It's got crispy.
Well, when I come back, why don't you take us somewhere?
Okay.
And I'm back.
And you are back indeed. Good to have you back. What I thought was interesting, and probably one of the coolest bits of news that we've seen this past week, is the Louvre heist.
Oh, yeah.
I see you've got some
clips. I've got a CNN segment on this.
Dude, I mean, this whole story, like how they did it and everything, I was like, this is the news. This is content. This is cool. You know, it's like the Italian Job all over again. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting, too, and very simple when you get into the details.
Yeah. Yeah, frickin' motorbikes and angle grinders.
And a cherry picker.
What are the French doing? I could have robbed that place.
Well, the museum did have its first woman director of security.
There you go.
And I just say that as a jest.
Yes, I know.
To all the ladies out there. But, I mean, come on.
You make wonderful Secret Service agents.
Well, do you want to play my segment or do you have a segment?
I just got a single clip, so let's do yours.
Okay. Well, this is the CNN Louvre heist.
Breaking now, an international manhunt underway after masked thieves stole priceless jewels from the most famous museum in the world, the Louvre. Still shuttered after French crown jewels, literally, including a sapphire tiara and an emerald literally. Necklace set among 1,000 diamonds, were taken in a wild 7-minute heist on Sunday. Only 4 of those minutes were spent inside the museum. The rest was getting in and out undetected. You don't do that without prior planning. Isisaurus is out front.
Diversion. Make a lot of noise over there. So over here in this room, you can take $100 million off the wall and waltz right out the front door.
Those were the actual thieves.
No diversion was needed for the four masked robbers who broke into the Louvre Museum in Paris on Sunday morning, stealing priceless French crown jewels in broad daylight, just minutes after the world's largest museum opened its doors. The Louvre remained closed on Monday as France grappled with one question. How could the world's most visited museum be robbed with such brazen audacity? It was a plot that played out like a Hollywood movie. Around 9:30 a.m. on Sunday, four thieves posing as workers wearing yellow vests used a moving elevator ladder to reach the second-floor balcony of the museum. The perpetrators then forced open a window using an angle grinder and entered the Apollo Gallery, sawing open the display location for the treasures of the French crown jewels. As alarm bells rang, they grabbed nine of the Louvre's most valuable treasures, the priceless 19th-century French crown jewels. Among them, a dazzling crown adorned with 24 sapphires, 1,083 diamonds. Also stolen, a diamond and sapphire necklace and a pair of earrings, seen here in this painting of Queen Marie Amélie in 1836.
Oh, jeez.
And a glittering bow with more than 2,000 diamonds.
It's like Trump tearing down the White House. Despicable. Unfortunately, they couldn't get all of, or fortunately, I should say, they couldn't get the largest of the crown jewels. Evidently, Brigitte was wearing a button fly, and they didn't have time to undo all the buttons.
That's funny. I see what you did there. Thank you, Candace. Okay, so we've got a report from one of the reporters at CNN. So let's hear the report and get some more details.
Clever to use a cherry picker and a glass cutter to steal priceless, well, sentimentally priceless jewels from the Louvre. The fact that it was done in daylight is also astounding.
It took only 7 minutes for the robbers to re-emerge with nine pieces of jewelry, apparently from the same window.
What shows we failed because someone was able to put up an elevator truck in the open, in the streets of Paris, have people walk up for a few minutes and take priceless jewels and give France a deplorable image.
Thankfully, one of the most precious items, a crown Napoleon gave his wife, Empress Eugenie, was dropped by the thieves as they sped away on high-powered scooters along the banks of the Seine. French police says the first 48 hours are key to track down the thieves, who so far are still on the run.
Yeah, they got away.
Okay. It's a little shorty there. Well, they got away, but they may not be gone. And we're going to get some experts in here. This is, of course, the former head of the FBI art crime team is going to be named Joffrey.
That's not a real team, is it?
Yes, the FBI art team. Or the FBI crime team, or the fart crime team. But his name is Joffrey, Joffrey Kelly. So let's hear what he's got to say.
It is amazing, though, Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. You know, you think about the things that go missing and then are just never found, right? Because no one tries to sell them or what? I mean, just these right. Mysteries. I mean, what are the odds that this becomes that?
Well, it's two different things, right? We've seen throughout history, including, of course, the Gardner Museum. Paintings are stolen. You steal iconic artwork, and then what are you going to do with it? It's too hot for anybody to buy it. And so you've seen thieves now are shifting the focus to jewels because obviously jewels can be broken down, the gems can be recut, and the settings can be melted down. I would hope, and I'm optimistic here, that of course the clock is ticking, but hopefully we have a little bit of time because if these guys are smart and they seem to be professionals, they're going to hold on to it for a little while. They're not going to break it up immediately. because if the French police come knocking on their door, they're going to need a get out of jail free card. And those jewels are their get out of free card, get out of jail free card. And so hopefully they're going to hold on to it for a while. We saw it with the Green Vault robbery in Dresden in 2019 when they were recovered in 2022 and the jewels were recovered when they were arrested.
Okay.
What if Trump buys it for his crown?
What?
What if Trump buys it for his crown?
What if Trump stole it?
That would be something. That would be something. The angle grinders, you know, is kind of that crude, crass method. I wouldn't put it past Trump.
Yeah, but he would probably collapse the chair.